Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio.
The footy's on the radio.
And your front row. Not only to the game, but now to the Jug Cave.
Holy handballs, Juddy.
Fareem, welcome to the Friday Night Huddle, live from Chris Judd's house.
You've got the West Coast Brownlow on one wall, and you've got the Carlton Brownlow on the other wall.
For McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, very good evening and welcome to a special Friday huddle. We are live from the Judd Cave ahead of the Adelaide Crows and the Swans. Big game over at the Adelaide Oval. We'll be crossing to there very, very shortly. But we are inside the Judd Man Cave once again. Very kind of the two-time Brownlow medalist, six-time All-Australian, model Lee Matthews Trophy winner. And if you were in any doubt that he won all those awards, they are plastered all through the Judd Cave as we look around. Very kind of you, Juddy. Thanks for inviting us back to the Judd Cave.
Duke, welcome back. Always good to have you in here. We've got AFL royalty making his debut in the Judd Cave tonight, so very exciting night ahead.
It is indeed, and you speak of royalty, and that is Luke Hodge, who's going to finish his career at the end of 2017, four-time premiership player, a couple of Norm Smith medals, one of the all-time great. And Hodge, he's sitting there with an eyes wide shot mask on tonight. Is it a different experience for you?
Yeah, it's I haven't actually made it over to Brighton too often. I don't normally come down here. I'm not allowed normally. It's a bit too rich for my liking, but it's a bit of a creepy environment with the masks here. Juddy's gone a little bit over the top. Where did these masks actually come from, Juddy?
They were bought freshly today. I like to sort of regenerate the masks quite regularly, Duke, and made a little excursion today and picked them up, and I think they've come up a treat, to be honest.
I'm going to get to that very, very shortly about your errands that you ran this afternoon. Facebook live streaming right now. Go to the Triple M Facebook page and you're going to get a look inside the Judd Cave. All Australian in his own right, one of the greats from the Bulldogs and the Tigers, Nath Brown. Welcome to you, Nath.
Yeah, excited to be here as always. And Hodgie, I want to ask you a question. What would Alistair Clarkson be thinking right now? You've got two games to go. Is his mind on the job wearing a mask?
I think if he looks at it, he'll be thinking, I'm glad he's getting out of the club. But I know Clarko's not too good with Facebook, so I hope he's not watching or listening.
He's in the area, Clarko. We're in his neighbourhood, so he might.
Unfortunately, he is.
Clarko would love it here, Duke. I've got no doubt about it.
I reckon he would too. You've
got a spare mask for Clarko if you're out there and you want to jump in. Damien Barrett has been extraordinary news-breaking form, the number one newsbreaker in the game. Welcome to you, Damo.
Hello, Darcy. It's not just the masks that are up for competition tonight, is it? It's always the wine when we come around to Juddy's house, and that's been a matter of conjecture during the week.
Well, it's interesting Damo should say that, isn't it? Because we all bring a bottle of wine, and we did last time, and you come around to the great man's house here, you've got to bring a nice bottle of wine. But Damo sent out a text today, and I was very surprised that the text got sent out, and Damo said, do we need parameters on the wine situation, or are we going to just make another dick swinging contest? To which I'd imagine that Damo's trying to, I guess, get the price down of his bottle of wine.
Lower the bar, do you think?
Janine's had a chat to him and said, Damien, we are on a budget here. You cannot get a bottle. You cannot compete with the Judds and the Hodges and the Darcys of this world. But the responses coming back was, I think we're going to go with a dick swing again.
And that's how it's rolled out. Mark Howard not with us tonight because last time he turned up, Hodgie, he brought the equivalent of a BlackBerry Nip Howie's on a lower budget. So he's had a suspension from the Judd Cave tonight.
Mind you, at least he brought something. This bloke's rolled up with nothing. He's brought up with a bottle of water.
A bottle of water. I'm playing tomorrow night. So
it's a big test, isn't it? It's a big test.
For Hodgie tonight.
You got a Grange on the table over there. You got a Henschke Hill of Grace 1990. And your two games from retiring, you reckon he'd have
one thing I've been good at throughout my career has been really disciplined and not getting in trouble in the footy club. So I think for another 10 days or 8 days or however long it is, I'm pretty sure I can hold off.
You started the year though with a little problem, Hodgie. Why don't you finish it that way as well?
The night's early.
Still a chance to do a calf, Hodgie.
We need to get into training tomorrow.
A little bit later on for that. Now, Juddy, you've been out this afternoon and you've last time we were here, there was a sort of Sharon Stone moment in the Judd Cave where you came out in a robe, you had a mask on, and we saw a little bit too much last time we were here. But you went out to run an errand and you spoke to the beautiful Bet, your wife, and said, got a few jobs tonight. How did that go down?
Look, well, fair to say, word filtered back to Beck last time we were in the cave, and she wasn't overly excited by what went down. And I actually worked out that mask, which I was quite enamoured with, found its way into the bin pretty swiftly after the cave session. So she asked me today when I was going to pick my daughter up, Billy, a little bit earlier from school than normal. She said, well, where are you off to? I said, I've just got to run a couple of errands. And then she pressed me on it. I said, I've got to run a couple of rounds. She said, what are you doing? And off to Sexyland to buy a couple of masks for the boys.
And can I ask you, when Chris Judd wanders in, not the lowest profile person in town, Hodgie, when you wander into Sexyland Moorabbin and purchase a handful of Eyes Wide Shut masks, can I ask how that conversation went?
Well, it's good to catch up with Cheryl and Keith. I haven't seen them for a few weeks. But
what is Cheryl and Keith like?
Oh, they're good. I think they're community-minded people.
Describe them.
I think they're
your usual Sexyland sort of cohort.
They've got can-do attitude. I like the way
small
they go
business,
about it.
Running a small business. And what did they say to you, Jetty?
They just said, they looked at me up and down. They said, big party. And I said, yes, there is. Yes, there is, party boys. So I'm looking forward to it.
Did you get a bulk buy discount by any chance? Because they've got a pretty sizable price tag on them, Jetty.
They're fairly high-quality mask. You've got yourself there, Purple. You're not just going your B-grade type operation. So if you're going to do it, you've got to do it properly. That's always been the Cave's policy.
Do you reckon Janine like that sort of stuff when you come home?
I wouldn't have thought so, Brady. No.
Facebook live streaming right now. Jump on the Triple M Facebook page and you'll get a bit of behind-the-scenes look at the Judd Cave, which, Brownie, we just need a little scene setter again. Can you do it for us? We're sitting down the swimming pool end of the Judd Cave. How would you describe our surrounds tonight?
It's you've got the swimming pool right here. How thick is that glass?
Thick enough, Brownie.
Thick enough to keep the water. And then you've got the pool table. Then you've got the gym out the back where Juddy gets on Instagram and him and Beck lie down and take all those photos of themselves and then post it out to the world.
Summer bodies are made in winter, Brownie.
The fitness freaks say. But then you've got the Brownlows on the wall. Yeah. You've got the best and fairest on the wall. But then behind that, behind everything, hidden behind all that, is the Lee Matthews greatest player of the all time. Just the hiding of the
almost
Lee Matthews.
Almost like a doorstop that Lee Matthews doesn't even get out the
front of. He's doorstop Lee Matthews.
Hey, tonight we're hoping to chat to Oscar Judd, who was fantastic last time in the Judd Cave. Juddy's eldest young boy, who's an absolute ripper. So hoping to coax young Oscar down. John Longmire, Don Pike are going to join us a bit later on. But as we said, great to have Luke Hodge, the retiring champion. We're going to do our top five of the great retiring class of 2017. So I'm going to put on you, Juddy, Brownie, Damo, who the best five are. Might be a little awkward with Hodgie sitting amongst us tonight. Well, how are you travelling, mate, with potentially two games to go in your career?
It's been good. It's been a long farewell tour. It's been about 6 weeks. We made the announcement pretty early, just the fact that I was coming into the 300th game and we knew the decision, so we knew what questions were going to be asked. So it's been a bit weird, but the last couple of games, I think now it's getting a bit closer. I'm starting to get a little bit nervous, a little bit toey. Looking forward to what's going to happen post-football, but the last two games playing with the boys is probably going to be a little bit sad.
Are you a bit sentimental? Are you a bit emotional about it?
Initially, no, but I'm thinking now when you're sort of coming down, I've got 8 quarters of football left. You don't know what's going to happen with finals, but it doesn't look likely for us. So no doubt next week against the Doggies at Etihad on Friday night, there will be a little bit sad when the siren goes.
Fair bit of amazement about the class this year, Brandon. We'll talk about that in a minute. The best five of this current class. I've seen some of the hardest and most resilient people in my life get to the end of their career and sob like babies, Jody. How did you go when it was all over?
I was okay. I'd actually eaten some cornflakes just before I made my announcement. So at one stage, it sounded like I was shaky, Duke, but that was just some remainder of those cornflakes. But Styx Kernahan, he takes it very seriously, always gets a bit offended when the blokes cry. He looked me in the eye and said, you don't have to cry, Juddy. It's always when they mention the wife and the kids, so just gloss over that and get on with it. But you don't have to cry. So that was Styx's advice.
How about you, Brownie? When it all finished for you, was it...
It was a bit sad. It was a strange odd ending. I think we finished fairly well down near the bottom of the ladder that year at the Tigers, and I'd finished a fair bit injured, so I didn't play much towards the end. And it was a pretty low sort of ending, to be honest, Luke.
Sounds pretty flat. All round, Brownie, yeah, I'm glad I asked you about that. So we are live from the Judd Cave tonight. Huge game coming up Friday night footy. Very special Friday huddle. And last night, Damien Barrett, the footy show back, and you caught up with a former president who had a pretty interesting story to tell.
Yeah, Rod Butters does. St Kilda president, 2000 to 2007-ish. And he's going through a phase of his life. He's been 8 years clean from alcohol and drug problems that he had and is now happily talking about publicly. And yeah, just delve back into the past. And the headlines out of it were that he'd made a lot of decisions on alcohol and drugs. And we might just have a quick snapshot of that long interview last night.
Did you make St Kilda Football Club decisions while you were on alcohol and drugs?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've got to put my hand up and say that as an alcoholic during that period, albeit high functioning, there were times when I had to make, you know, decisions about people's welfare that, you know, in hindsight, I'm ashamed that I wasn't in the best possible shape to make those decisions. I think the whole Malcolm Blight thing was, catastrophic from the outset, and it was just an immature decision. We got caught up in the hype, and we got caught up in Malcolm's charm and charisma, and then 16 weeks later we shit ourselves and fired him. And even the part about letting Malcolm go could have been done a lot more tastefully and with dignity. And it should have been. The guy's a legend of the game.
So that was a part of it, guys. And he did go on to say that he hadn't seen... and he used the word cocaine until he got into football. And as we said, now 8 years clean. Luke Riewoldt was on the panel last night, and we made Nick aware of it. I just want to clear this up because some people have been a bit confused this morning and today about it. But Nick was well aware of the contents of the interview. He just hadn't seen it until it went to air. That happens regularly. But so he knew it was coming, he just hadn't seen it. And he responded last night really strongly, and he was pretty worked up over trying to achieve the premiership so he ultimately didn't achieve, Hodgie, and now knowing that, in his eyes anyway, that Rod Butters may be making decisions on alcohol and drugs.
That is a shock to me. That certainly didn't apply to the playing group. And certainly a level of disappointment. We were challenging for premierships throughout that period. A prelim in 2004 that we lost by a goal, a prelim in 2005 that we arguably could have or should have won. And to hear that decisions were being made, presidents have a large say in a football club. To hear that decisions were being made under the influence is disappointing to hear that as a player.
So that was Nick, and he did say more than that, and you could just even tell just sitting next to him as he was watching it, he was getting quite worked up, and I think he was worked up post-show about it too.
What do you make of that, Jody? Would that irk you? You get to the end of your career, Nick Riewoldt won't win a premiership. They got very close. Is that justified his frustration?
Look, I think so. I mean... it just shows that to win a premiership, there's just so many moving parts that need to be working right for that to happen. And that's what makes them so special when they do occur. But to be a successful club, you need everyone from the board to the management to the footy department to the playing group to the boot starters, all well and truly aligned and pushing in the same direction. So you can certainly understand his frustration in that instance.
I think there was a few people, maybe Hodgie took exception last night to the way it was phrased. I'm not saying that Rod Butters meant this, that I found the party life when I got to AFL. For a lot of people who's been in the AFL, it's one of the most disciplined environments. We know that everyone's had issues and there will be continued issues with alcohol and drug abuse as per any other industry, but almost like that was party time when he hit the AFL. Can you understand players being a little bit put out by that?
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise when he said that, considering drugs in Melbourne or drugs in society, it's hit so many people. So for when he said that, the fact is the first time he'd seen it was when he was brought into the AFL system. Took me a bit of surprise. But going back to what Nick Riewoldt said is when you lose a grand final, you go through every player. What could you have done? Could you have done more? What were the blokes recovering right? Were you training? Were you doing the right things? For him to now look and hear that the president is not doing everything that he could, you can understand why I was a bit frustrated with that.
And just in Rod Butters' defence too, like he's, I believe, talking to corporate groups now as part of his new businesses. He's lost a lot of money. That was also part of the interview, which didn't air last night. We had to sort of cut certain parts out of it. But he lost two marriages in quick succession. He lost millions, like tens of millions of dollars. And now he's going through the phase of his life now where he's clean. And he just feels clearly that he's better off talking about very openly what he went through. So I'm defensive of him for doing it, but I can also get why Nick Riewoldt had the reaction that he did have.
Yeah, I mean, I got coached by him in under-9s footy. So he was my under-9s footy coach, and he's a ripper bloke, but he's certainly been through some really hard times. And like you say, I'm sure he regrets the decisions that were made then as well, but this is his way of trying to improve and, I guess, stop that happening to others.
To others, yeah, and there is a messaging element to what he's choosing to do, yeah.
Do you win the under-9 best and fairest out of interest, Jenny?
I may have snaffled that. It's not in the cave, Jeff, but we'll be able to fish it out somewhere upstairs.
Seem to have turned out all right, haven't you? bread and butter's done a good job.
Might be up there with Cam Guthrie's jumper somewhere tucked away in a
reckon that was a fake.
Not convinced about this. And a bit later on, we're going to rate the 2017 class of retirees Brownie. We're going to do that in order of 1 to 5. We've been set that task. But Hodgie weighed in with a bit of a message. Jody and Brownie set a little scene setter for that.
Well, the text messages went around during the week and just at the top five. But Hodgie wrote back, and I sent the text to say that Hodgie doesn't have to do it because he's still a current player. And his comment back was a text that simply said, one, Hodge. To daylight.
Just a little.
You wanted honesty. I gave you honesty, mate. I didn't have much time.
But then for some reason, the judges turned up tonight and he thinks we're rating them on dress sense. I don't know how that's come about.
Well, Dennis Armfield was going to be number one, Duke, let me tell you. Because I once saw him wear white leather shoes to the BNF with a navy suit, corn braids in hair, and one of the rudest goatees you'd ever see. So he was going to be my number one.
We are a little fascinated, Juddy, by your afternoon today. If you just joined us on the Friday Huddle live from the Judd Cave, Juddy has wandered down to Sexy Lamb Rabin this afternoon. And bought a handful of Eyes Wide Shut style masks. And we're just wondering what that experience is like, Jody, for you. Are you nervous walking in there? You're worried that you're going to be spotted?
There's a mixture of emotions. You know, as I said, it's always good to catch up with old friends, but you do worry about your picture getting taken or landing in the confidential. So, but always good to get in and out. And I think the end result was worth it, Duke, because I think we all look pretty sharp when we put the masks on.
What I believe is that maybe you took Beck on one of her first dates to Sexpo. Oh.
This is a bomb.
That is a true story, actually. And I'm glad you brought that up because that is we actually went to the Fitness Expo, which was next door to Sexpo.
Oh, yeah,
pure coincidence. And I said to Beck, we only know each other for a couple of weeks. And I said, given we're here, we should probably wander in next door,
Pop Jenny. Heads in.
Now, that place was teeming with people, Damo, and without exaggeration, walked in the door with a girl that I wanted to impress. I bumped into five guys I knew within 10 metres who were on the apparatus sort of section, Johnny. They were wandering around. It was Miss Nude Australia up on stage. They tell me that is one of the biggest exhibitions in Australia, the Sexpo down at the convention. Apparently.
Your mates are in the inches section.
We've gone off on a tangent
but
there.
What I've found out here is you can't trust Brandon around them. You send a text back, mate. You tell a story, he just jumps straight on it.
Nothing's off the record with Brownie.
It's just good content.
He's going to fit into Triple M footy in fine style, Hodgie. We're hoping to get a lot more of him in 2018. Hey, Damo, a fair bit to talk about at the moment. You've spoken about Rod Butters, but Chris Yaron was a big story as well this week.
It was. He'd posted a video onto YouTube, Dust, which was made public for the first time yesterday. I think it was under a private arrangement initially, but someone posted it. And he spoke about his battle with ice addiction, which happened in the past couple of years. And it came from a family member. And it advanced today because the story went from being his issue, as we know, traded from Carlton to Richmond, end of 2015, didn't play a game, and now off the list effectively. So what happened today? Brett Johnson from the AFL Players Association spoke on SEN about the treatment that that Chris Yaron had received over the journey. And just a couple of observations out of this that I want to discuss further.
I never comment on confidential matters relating to players and, you know, specific to Chris's situation, whether it was under the IDP and any support that may have been provided to him by the industry. But I guess in saying that, there shouldn't be an assumption made that Chris was never tested positive, and just because people don't know about it, and I guess there shouldn't be any assumption that the industry hasn't provided him with help along the way.
That's Brett Johnson of the AFLPA talking about the testing of Chris Yaron. I just want to raise it, Dust. Obviously, there's the person involved here, and that's the most important part of it, and that's the way it has been dealt with. But there's also a football component to this, with the transfer of a player from one club to another for a high draft pick. And I think it needs to be part of the conversation. I think we need to have it maturely, because even if we take Yaron out of what we're about to discuss now, there's situations where players do move from clubs at great expense to the club that's taking the player on, with a problem that would, I reckon, preclude that club recruiting that player, taking that player if they knew everything about that player. So let's remove Yaron from the conversation. But a club would not give up a first-round draft pick if they knew of a player's addiction.
You should think there should be more visibility on players' issues before they trade. Is it not buyer beware a little bit, Hodgie, potentially? You take on a player, who knows what's happened in their past, or do you think we need more line of sight on that?
I think it's got to be handy for the club who's looking, because they've obviously gave up a fair bit to get Yaron across. But did he actually have the issue at Carlton before he went across? Because his football at Carlton was still who's still playing some really good football. But then he said once he started, he dropped away. So was that once
he
moved,
look, the time frame and the timeline is a little bit vague and blurred at the moment as to whether it started at Carlton or started when he moved
the
across.
The way he was speaking, it does sound like he was at Carlton because he was turning up for training and game day and he was worried about his performance.
I think the hardest thing for the PA is they want to protect him as a person. Obviously, he's going through a bad stage, but what the IDP has done at this stage, it's fixed him up. They obviously put him out of football for a while. They sent him away and he's got some help and he's come back. He's in a lot better place. So as far as the whole IDP, it's actually worked to fix his issues.
And IDP being illicit drugs policy.
I tend to agree with you, Das, that the club has to do their due diligence. I mean, you knew Chris Yaron had, not issues with that sort of thing, but you knew he had issues with work rate, issues with not turning up on time to training. And I think if you do your due diligence, maybe they didn't do it that properly. So it is buy beware, and I don't think Richmond have anything to go back on.
Might be some issues for us, Brown. We might move on to another topic, and I want to start with Juddy on this one. Gillon McLachlan today has come out and said that he's prepared to remove, I'm paraphrasing here, AFL media accreditation for fake news. If you go with a story that isn't right, you might be banned, Damo. In fact, let's have a listen. This was Gil McLachlan talking earlier on 3AW today.
I actually thought it was quite a good idea. I read that. I mean, I think that there's a responsibility everywhere. Our players, coaches, officials, everyone's held incredibly accountable every day. We are also talking about people's livelihoods and careers, and this allegation talked to integrity. So the thought that someone, if they actually just make something up that has such significant ramifications, I think that almost, there has to be an accountability for that. And taking accreditation away seems to me to be a fairly logical outcome of that. So I reckon that it is worth looking at.
My hope is that that's not aimed at Judge Juddy and that he's taken exception with some of your work over the year. Juddy, you feeling safe?
Very well researched, Judge Juddy. I find it hard to believe any of that would be included in the fake news section. But, I mean, I think it's an interesting point, Damon, but I don't know if accreditation really hurts the journos as much as what people think it will.
He's kidding himself, Gil, with that statement. Seriously, he's got enough to worry about. He hasn't got a footy operations boss at the moment. The match view panel's imploding and they also don't have an integrity boss. So, look, I know there's a perception out there from the public and maybe even Gil that there's no accountability in media, but, Dust, there is. There are so many levels of
it. Who would he be talking about?
Well, the topic of the week is the Brad Hardy situation. And I don't want to get into a was he right or was he wrong thing, because I don't know. No one's going to know. And Nathan Buckley's not going to know. Ross Lyon's not going to know. Sorry, Ross Lyon would claim to know. But the club itself, the club that put the letterhead out on the statement, they wouldn't know if that happened. So, again, I don't think it happened. But in terms of what happened during the week, Brownie, it was the Brad Hardy.
We've got a current player in the room. I'm interested on you, Hodgie. The journos need to be more accountable as a current player.
I think what Gil was saying, it is a false threat. But the only thing is there's so many people who can report news, whether it's through Twitter. There's that many different either media, TV, radio, who can come out with a story. So a lot of the AFL media guys who have been around a long time obviously have a lot of sources that they don't give up. And you normally believe them. It's the guys who you don't really hear who jump out, like a Hardy, who jumps out of nowhere and just comes out with a pretty huge accusation. You sit back and go, well, where's this come from? And he's not really given up any sources. I think that's the thing is with the players' issue is so many people come up with stuff. It's the guys who continually have been around for a long time who have sources, and you know that they've been around for a long time, that they're actually going to be telling the truth.
Brett Biglands is on the ground and he's standing alongside the coach of the Swans, and that is John Longmire. Over to you, Biggles.
Good evening, everyone. Your clinicians have cleared actually here, which is nice at the moment. No rain around just for the minute, but thanks very much for your time, John. How offensive will you be in the midfield tonight? Because it's such a critical matchup. Big game for your club, but we know how strong they are in there.
Yeah, look, we know the Crouch boys, Sloan, those guys get it done quite often in the midfield. But, our midfield group's been going okay as well. It'll be a big battle in there because both sides have reasonably potent forward line. So particularly the conditions will be really slippery tonight. So you need to get your hand on the ball in the middle of the ground and get it going your way and get the meterage going your way quickly.
Hey, Horse, thanks for joining us, Triple M Footy tonight. Sam Jacobs had a great year this year and will be one of the ruckmen of the year. Kurt Tippett spent a fair bit of time going head-to-head tonight. That'll be a pretty important role, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean, we have Sinclair in the team, obviously, as well, and we rely upon both of them. We've also had Dean Towers do it at different times as well. But, we understand how good he is at getting the first use to the Adelaide midfielders, and that's a big job for our ruckmen to be able to do that. It's really a couple of them and maybe three of them that would be required in that position to be able to get on top of him because he's in such red-hot form.
Bosch, your forward 50 pressure seems to have really stepped up the last 6 weeks or so. Has that been a major focus, and do you think that's been having a big impact on why you guys are playing so well?
Yeah, it's always been a focus for us. We've just executed it better at times than over the last few weeks than probably we did early in the year. And, you know, it's been an important part of the game when you've got blokes like Haywood and Rowan and Papley and those guys in their front half, and even Franklin and Reed with some real speed as well. We like to put some pressure on. And when you look at the opposition's ability to be able to launch the ball from their back half, Laird and Smith and those guys, it's an important part to make sure that you put pressure on the opposition when they've got the footy.
Horse, you've been, since 0-6, you've been up for so long leading into a final series. Is it hard to get rest into players at the moment, knowing that you have to win most games to get their position on the ladder?
Well, it's interesting. I've been asked that a couple of times, but I can't remember a time, even when we've finished up or been at the top of the ladder and we've been in good spots, that we've rested the players too much. It's every game we treat as though it's a massive game, and so this year's been no different. Our players approach that in the same mentality, that every game's a big one, and we did the same last year and sitting on top of the ladder, and we'll do the same again this year. It just means you need to play well every week, and our players know that, but we look forward to that as well.
Horse, hand on your heart, when you lost the 6-1 in a row to start the year, did you actually think it was going to be possible to play finals?
A couple of points, Stas. One is, I thought it was going to be tough. It was going to be really tough, but I did have confidence that we could get on a run. And we've done it before, and we've been able to play a really good solid block of footy for 10, 12 weeks before. And knowing that a few of the senior boys were coming back into the team, I was confident that if we did get going, we could, but there wasn't much wriggle room. You know, when you get off to 0-6 start, there's not much room for error.
John, you touched on Haywood a moment ago. I know it's joked about internally as to how much you love him, if he's almost become a favourite of yours.
That's a bit over the top.
Is it? Well, that's what the players say. But he obviously is a really impressive young guy for a man to play 15 games in this first season of footy, for you to have such great faith in him, though, going into this late stage of a season.
I think we might have lost the coach of the Swans over there. Line might have dropped out. Always great to have Horse Longmire with us. You're back there, Horse. Can you hear us?
Hello. Yeah, got me. Sorry, mate. Damien, he's a very good player. I mean, I really enjoy the young kids coming through. We had 7 debutants last year, and we had 6 in the first 5 weeks this year, of which Will was one of those kids. And so when you get a kid, we knew from the first training session that he completed over the pre-season that we had a pretty handy player. His speed, he's clean, and he was really hard. And so, it doesn't take those things too much of seeing those things on the training track before you realise he's a pretty, pretty good player. In his first year, he's been very good for us, and he's kicking goals for us as well. So he's got a great temperament for AFL footy.
Yeah, Horse, if Talia goes to Bud, that's going to be a pretty big job on Keith with Tippett. Would you be telling him to go up the ground, use his athleticism, take Tully away from the defensive 50s where he'd been so strong, and see how Keith goes 1v1 with the bigger Tippett?
I mean, as you know, Hodgie, I mean, Lance does some pretty good work deep, but he's also really good up the ground. He's had our most inside 50s last week. He does some real damage through that part of the ground. He's got the ability to be able to kick long goals, long-range goals, but he's also, one of, if not our best field kick, and his ability to be able to hit the targets inside 50 is really important. And he'll be able to do that as he sees fit as the game plays out, but we like to see him up the ground and get him moving, particularly early in the game.
It's been a record-breaking year, Horse, as it stands now, to get to the finals, having lost the first 6 games. It's been an amazing coaching performance. Good luck for the rest of the year in the finals.
Thanks, Stas. Thanks, Horse.
In the world of AFL, there is one modern-day player that rises above all else.
I'd be happy to put my name up as the chairman.
Whose opinions and judgments we respect.
I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
The situations are real. The verdicts are final. This is Judge Juddy.
And a special edition of Judge Juddy, live from the Judge Cave, where he feels very, very comfortable and at home. The Judge, over to you.
Thank you, Duke. So we'll get straight into it. Brownie, best on ground votes this week. Go to the taxi industry, actually, who are not happy with Uber and the fact that they've been granted an airport pickup area.
UberX.
Taxi solution to this, to show their frustration, but also win back the customers was to create a blockade on the roads heading out to the airport, because nothing wins customers like stopping them being able to catch their flight, Brownie. Some of the other strategies they've used, they've been doubling up the amount of farts they put in their seat covers just so all the taxis have a severe stench just to show they're serious. And they've also increased the number of times they get lost when they ferry passengers around, Duke, just to show that they're going to take Uber on head-to-head and they want the customers back.
That's so, the most hygienic humour is getting to another.
Just an interesting strategy.
Yeah.
Probably haven't won the PR battle, Juddy, fair to say, the taxi industry this week.
I wouldn't have thought so.
And that's best on ground, Juddy, is it?
Well, it's more of an act of encouragement. So okay. They get the best. Worst on ground votes. One vote goes to DJ David Mueller, Purple, who you would have followed this during the week, was recently taken to court by Taylor Swift and was actually found guilty of pinching her on the bum when she posed for a photo with DJ Mueller. He's now complaining that he needs to get facial reconstructive work so he can get a job in the industry because no one will give him a job. So instead of worrying about those sort of surgeries, maybe you should get a couple of fingers taken off, Brownie, so he stops grabbing birds on the bum that he doesn't know. So DJ David Mueller, he gets the one vote.
Yeah, fair enough.
Two vote this week goes to Pauline Hanson. For her, hang on a second. What are we?
We've got a special guest arrived. Have we?
What have we got here?
This is a little concerning. Mid Judge Juddy, hang on.
Looks like a regular,
like an intruder of some description, wearing a mask.
All right, boys.
Hey, I reckon I've got a little thought on this.
Last time I was here at a party with a mask on, there was a lot less clothes on. One of these things on.
Yeah, we're like the king of spin. Oh, so.
Hang on a minute. If you don't mind.
Hang on, I've got to get... Yeah, mate. The king of spin. Yeah, thanks, mate.
What about that? The great Shane Warne enters the Judd Cave. Hello, Warne.
Warne.
How good is Warne looking with a mask on?
Hi, mate.
Card-carrying member of the Judd Cave too, Shane Warne.
What's that, mate?
Card-carrying member of the Judd Cave.
He's found his way here pretty nicely.
Mate, I was just sitting at home and saw the mask. I heard there was a party going on. Just like, can't miss this.
No one better suited to the Judd Cave than Shane Warne. Let's be perfectly honest with you, mate. You look right at home here on the couch.
Very comfy in this. Pretty good setup. I think we could do some serious damage in here, Jay. How long is Beck home tonight? I don't know.
Beck's just upstairs, Shane.
All right, I'll leave that alone then, will we?
I think this has got lock-in written all over it tonight, Jay. We might. Hodgie could have the night off, couldn't he, with his second last game? Warne, what do you think?
Best play. I reckon Hodgie should just keep doing it tonight, all night, and just go rock up on the Saturday. He'll play the best. It's been done. He's done it before.
You'll call Clarko for it.
He's done it before.
He got caught out the start. He's a bit cold about
it. I just got a text from Clarko. He just said, get home now.
It worked well for you over the journey, Warne, didn't you? Would find yourself in a few situations and then come out and just deliver at the best top of your game.
All about knowing yourself, Das. You've got to know yourself. Didn't need much sleep and liked a couple of beers before I played and seemed to do okay.
Tell you what,
too much preparation.
Well played tonight. Nice intruder for you in the Judge Juddy segment to roll out the great Shane Warne, if you don't mind. Who's a little bit of an irate Saints fan at the moment, Warne. Did I read a bit of your stuff? You're not overly happy with where they're at the moment?
No, look, I love what the Saints are doing. I love what Richo's doing. But I was a little bit disappointed on the weekend at such a big game that they performed the way they did in that first quarter and a bit. But after that, they were pretty good. But I thought that first quarter, they just... I was hoping for a bit more.
With that, that probably lacked a little bit of leadership with no Joey, no Rue. Seeing that on the weekend, would you think either Joey should or call Rue back? Would you want him to stay on and keep playing?
Oh, it's a tough one. I mean, Rue's been such a legend. He's a Hall of Famer. He's been a great player. He's going to be one of those guys pretty hard to replace, isn't he? It's pretty hard to replace that experience. He's still playing well, so you could easily see where he could play longer. But I suppose the club have decided, and he's decided that's enough.
What do you feel like they need going forward in the trade period?
Well, I think when you look through all the good sides that are playing, you say, well, how many match winners have they got? Who can you throw up forward or who can you make a change with that can actually make a huge difference, grab the game by the scruff of the neck? If you look at the Saints, who are those guys you think are absolutely A-plus players right now that could change a game? You guys are the experts, not me, but I don't think they've got... They need a couple of class players. They need a bit of pace through the midfield. And hopefully, you know, big Paddy McCartan will be good next year. He has a great pre-season. Line up forward, help Membry and Bruce up forward. They'll be okay.
They probably don't have a midfield star, I don't reckon.
The Saints,
that you can wheel out and compare to a Dangerfield or a Selwood or those types of players.
Jack Stevens, they're very best.
Well, Seb Ross and Jack Stevens, I reckon they're really good players, but they're just still probably a rung below your real A-grader midfielders.
Do they need a bit of jazzing up off-field, Warne? We saw Rod Butters talk about his time in charge of the club. Maybe not to that extreme, but do they need something off-field as well? A bit bit of a guidance from yourself, maybe?
Well, when I was listening before, I think what Juddy was saying, in any successful team, any successful sport, you need it right from the top. That's from the players, off field, everything needs to be sensational. Hodgie's done it 3 times, he knows what it's about. But I see, so I think that, you know, you looked at Bulldogs last year, you looked at how Beveridge did. He was fantastic as a coach. His stocks went up. They haven't performed as well this year, but it started from the top. They were great all the way. Played for each other. They did everything right, didn't they? From off the field, on the field, everything was right. And as well, they had that little bit of X factor. You know, they could throw someone up or back. They could throw a few things around. They had that X factor and suddenly things happen. I don't see the Saints at the moment. They've got that X factor player that can really grab the game by the scruff of the neck.
I think we're all still in shock here at the moment. None of us seriously knew that Shane Warne was in town. Brownie's gone mute. Get onto Facebook Live on Triple M. You can see the great Shane Warne is here. And it's a different looking Warne. A bit of a beard going, Warne. What's happening?
Yeah, a bit of a guts at the moment. Beard's happening. It's been a good summer in England, I must admit.
Did you get body shamed in the paper today? Did I read that?
I think it was the other day, yeah.
The other day?
It's great coming back to Melbourne, isn't it? You get three or four paps standing outside your house.
Body shame.
Where you go, call you a fat bastard. it's great fun coming
it's
back.
Not
to
a great
Melbourne,
incentive to come back because I love your life. Every time I hear about Warne, he's either playing poker in Vegas, he's playing golf at St Andrews,
cricket in the West Indies.
Just every time I see you having a great time, but we need to welcome you back a bit better than that, surely.
No, thanks, Darce. It is what it is. I'm used to it by now. I don't really get upset about it that much, but just pretty annoying to you go outside. Yeah. Your house with your kids and that, and suddenly they're stalking the kids and following everywhere you go. That's pretty ordinary, I reckon.
What about the cricket paedos bit? Were you surprised it lingered on as long as it did?
Being one of the guys that sort of helped the players 20-odd years ago when we started, I was interested to see how it all panned out. I think if the you know, in this case, Cricket Australia are making so much money at the moment, I think it's important that the players share in that. And I was disappointed at the stance that Cricket Australia took. It was basically, it should be a partnership. They're treating them as employees, where I believe that the players and the governing body in any sport should be a partnership. And I don't think the players got treated as a partnership to me. So I was disappointed from Cricket Australia's point of view. I was happy that the players stuck together. And I think in the end, it's a win-win because we all want to see the players playing cricket. Mm. And I don't think the players didn't want to play cricket. They were fighting what was fair. So I think for cricket, for the men and the women to all stay united, I thought was really, really good for them. And in the end, it's a win-win, and we're going to see some cricket this summer.
Warney, I'll just go to Brownie. He's critiqued everyone's bowl of wine they've brought in tonight. He brought in a Grange. He's told everyone he showed Grange walked in.
Yeah, I was.
Now, a bit of honest feedback. Warney's walked in with a good old St. Henry.
Well, I'm not going to bring the good stuff here.
I want to see he's sledged everyone that hasn't brought up to a Grange stand.
Right, Brownie.
Can you give Warney some feedback? If he's up to your standards.
Well, the St. Henry, Warney, I would have thought for a man that is as high esteemed as you.
He's lost
my way here. Childhood hero. I can't see it's my childhood hero. It can't be done.
What about a special guest who's just wandered in? Shane Warne, the wisdom cricketer of all time. I think he was number 2, Warne, on the all-time list of wisdom cricketers. One of the greatest.
I think I was 4.
We've upgraded you to 2. Luke Hodge is with us tonight. Damien Barrett, Nath Brown, and very shortly, Damo, we're going to talk about the class of 2017 retirees. The top 5 we're going to go through. There, Juddy, but great to have Warne in your house.
Very special to have the king of spin in the house, number 2 player of all time.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate
it. Just getting some tweets through that Shane Warne would make a very good St Kilda Football Club president. That's coming through from Triple M. Is that on the agenda, Warne?
Well, I haven't really thought about it, to be honest, Darce, but I think the boys down there are doing a pretty good job.
Sounds
but
like
maybe
it.
One day.
Didn't rule it out.
Wasn't it? No, wasn't it?
Rule it out. One day could be fun, yeah.
Hey, jump on to Triple M Footy on our Facebook page and get involved in this. The class of 2017, Damien Barrett. Talk us through who is going to retire at the end of the year because it's a great list and then we're going to look at the top 5.
Yeah, I'll sit this one out, Darce, so I'll sort of just convene it maybe. But for those who just need a quick crash course on what's happened, the man who's part of this tonight, Luke Hodge, Sam Mitchell, Josh Gibson, James Kelly, Steve Johnson, Matthew Boyd, Bob Murphy, Nick Riewoldt, Matty Prittis, Joe Watson and Scotty Thompson from Adelaide. They're the group of people that we need you guys now to rank for us. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Let's start with you, Juddy.
Very good. Well, I'll go the great Luke Hodge, number 1. One of the all-time champs. 4 premierships, 2 Norm Smiths. And always got it done on the big stage. Nick Riewoldt, number 2 for mine. Just such a consistent player over such a long period. Sam Mitchell, number three. Joe Watson, four. And Matty Prittis to round off at number five. But a couple very unlucky to miss out on that top five.
You're a bit dirty that Hodgie was taken earlier in the draft than you that year, Juddy. Did that...
No, very happy.
He reminded me every time we played. He goes, I'm better than you. I stuffed that one up. And I had no comeback. I had to say, I agree.
Okay, Brownie.
I'm going to go Hodgie one. Would have loved to have had him at Richmond, try to talk him into that in the middle of the ground in Tasmania one year, 2006, I think it was, try to get him over to Richmond, but didn't come down. But obviously easily the best of these. Riewoldt, number two. Sam Mitchell, like you, number three. I've given Rob Murphy, number four. Didn't win a premiership, didn't win the two Brownlows that Scotty Clayton said he'd win, but an enormous player. And I was tossing up between Stevie J and... Josh Gibson. I just thought Josh Gibson's two best and fairest in premiership years were really good.
Hodgie, before we get to Das, can we take you, like they do in the bookmakers' charts, five out? Can we take you out of your assessments and can you give us your five with you obviously not part of it?
I probably, as a favourite, I probably would have put Nick Riewoldt as a favourite. I love the person who is that big, who can work that hard. I remember the amount of meetings we used to have playing against Nick Riewoldt. How do you stop him? He works up and down. Anyone who you play on him, if he's a shorter guy to keep with him, he'll outmark him. If it's a taller guy, he'll run him all day. So I would have had him down as one. And then I'm probably a little bit biased putting Sammy Mitchell just behind him. For someone who talks about his skills and his smartness of football, I've seen him for 300 games get bashed from pillar to post. Every person used to run past him, used to give him cheap shots. He never used to say anything. Oh, he might have given a little bit of a lift, but he used to get up and just continue on. And with it next, there's so many other guys. Job Watson in his prime throughout there was that hard to match up on. Thompson, people have forgotten how good Scotty Thompson was.
Yep.
He was around the midfield. He was excellent.
Polled extraordinarily well in a lot of Brownlows too without winning one.
Over in Adelaide, he was dominant. His stoppage stuff, his linking up was probably the inside midfielders, as Tommy probably didn't get talked about as much as the outside, the flashy ones like a Juddy who loved the cameras and put the afterburners on. And then I've got to put in Bob Murphy as well. He just an all-round good guy, off half-back, half-forward. Love watching him play.
No Gibbo there, Hodgie?
I didn't see. I just saw Gibbo. And
did you miss anyone?
I kind of went Nick Riewoldt, Sam Mitchell, and then put the other guys in as a group. But Gibbo, two BNFs in grand final years.
It's a bit of a Terry Wallace cover off.
Get off the fence, mate, if you're going to join us in the media.
I've just said we've got two very loyal guys here at Triple M. I just want to see if Das is just as loyal as the other two.
Well, we'll find out. You missed us a bit earlier because we revealed, Hodgie, we sent this out during the week, and so we're going to name the top five. Hodgie sent a message back saying Hodge daylight to the rest of them coming from
semi-joking,
not as humble as this is. You can't go past Luke Hodge for me. Damo's the number one player of this class, as good as it is. Nick Riewoldt, what an out-and-out champion that man is in every sense of the word. And Sam Mitchell, I agree with you. I think he gets underrated, if that's possible, for what he did. I know Jason Dunstall has him as, I think, in the top three of all time at Hawthorn, and what he's achieved. Stevie J at number four, and our mate Bod Murphy at number five for me, who I think, because of the quirky nature of him, will be underrated too. What he did, he was All-Australian captain 2 years ago, Murph, and as a player at halfback, and the way he's able to set up and his leadership in the last few years has been outstanding. Warney is with us. Shane Warney, have you got a thought on the player of the class of 2017?
Mate, I don't think anyone cares about my opinion. I think as a fan watching the game, I think Hodgie, I think what he's been able to achieve and the way he achieved it, I think on and off the field, I think is total respect. And what he's been able to achieve. So not just sitting, I think Hodgie won. I think Nick Riewoldt, number two, just for the same things as Hodgie said, but the way he's conducted himself on and off the field too. I think Rui's been absolutely outstanding at a side that has struggled at times and also had a bit of success. But I think Riewoldt would have to be number two. I agree with Sam Mitchell, number three. I think just his pure skill. So those three would be me. I think Hodge, Riewoldt, Mitchell will be the top three. The rest, I mean, they've all been fantastic, but... I don't know. I think Josh Gibson's been good. Stevie J, as a fan, I think it was always great to watch what he could do. So Gibson and Stevie J.
We all had exactly the same top three.
Is that right?
Yep.
I think those three, that would be fair to say, that without no disrespect to anyone else, they're probably just a rung above everybody else with what they've been able to achieve. I think Hodge, Riewoldt, Mitchell, different class than the rest.
What happens if Gary Ablett pulls a pin at the end of the year? I'm pretty sure he jumps up to one, I'd say.
He might jump a lot of you, I think, Hodgie, potentially.
I've still got your number one.
Hey, well, just before we get to our break, we're going to get to Don Pike shortly. Hodgie's about to retire, and we love doing this. It's the pub talk, you know, the best. We introduced you just a minute ago as one of the Wisden players of all time, the history of the game, number four of all time. Do you actually sit back and you're introduced like that? Juddy, we rate as one of the all-time greats. Does it still mean something to you when you appear on that sort of list?
Yeah, look, I think when you're playing and, you know, you're lucky enough to achieve, whether it be premierships or Norm Smith medals or cricket medals, I think when you're playing, you're just trying to do the best you can for your team. That's all you want to do. You want to win every game you can and do the best you can. When those awards come, they're nice. You don't play for those awards. It's not until, I suppose, down the track, like my children are older now, they're 20, 18, 16, and someone says, and they go, oh, Dad, what does that mean? And then you sort of say, oh, well, I got voted as one of the greatest five cricketers of all time. It's like, oh, that's pretty cool. And you go, actually, she is pretty cool, isn't it? It's pretty cool. So you don't really realise until you're finished and you look back at those sort of things and you go, you know, I gave it my best, and it's nice to have those sort of things get recognised for what you did on the field.
Rolls off the tongue pretty nicely, doesn't it? One of the five greatest cricketers of all time,
Shane Warne.
A surprise guest, Shane Warne, has dropped by. If you don't mind, Luke Hodge, Damien Barrett, Nate Brown. And we're just peppering Warney in the ad break, as many stories as we can get hold of with Warney. And he did point out, as he said, one of the five greatest cricketers of all time, voted as one of the Wisden players of all time. The only one of the top five, Warney, is not a sir?
Yep, that's right. Sir Donald Bradman, Sir Jack Hobbs, Sir Vivian Richards, Sir Gary Sobers and Shane Warne.
When do you think this will happen?
It's got to be soon, Brownie, doesn't it?
I would have thought so.
Let's start us something. It is a long way to Australia from England sometimes, so it might take a while.
It's got to happen, doesn't it? It's a shame.
Would you accept it, Shane, after they've been so tardy in offering it up?
Yeah, I think I should knock it back.
Wow, you've got to make them earn it.
Yeah, that's right. Not a bad point, actually. I might have to make them wait. Turn it down the first time.
Exactly. I think so.
And you're telling us you had an encounter with Sir Don Bradman on his 90th birthday. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was lucky enough on his 90th birthday, he requested myself and Sachin for his birthday. We were his two favourite cricketers. And it was quite interesting about the game and what he thought of the game. And he basically thought that nothing much had changed except the athleticism of the fielders. He said that was fantastic what they, the way the guys field now. So it was very interesting. Sachin Tendulkar asked him about preparation. And Don said he used to just go to his office, hit a couple of balls and go out and bat, smack it around. And he said it was like that. So there's a lot different back then, obviously, but he was a great. He was the best ever.
What I'm still fascinated with cricket, when you watch it in the 80s, and we're talking about Viv Richards before, how exciting he was, that he never wore a helmet. He went out there, never wore a helmet. These days, obviously, we've had issues with the helmets. And just up close, what was he like?
Yeah, legend. I mean, I think all of us growing up at our age, you know, Viv Richards was the man, just the way he went about it, the way he walked out on the pitch. It was like he just owned it, you know. He just walked out. He had that intimidatory factor as soon as he walked out to the bowlers, and just his how good he was too. So yeah, he's good. He's a great man too, Viv. We got involved in the Melbourne Stars for a couple of years. I've had spent a lot of time with him. He's a great guy, and he's whatever you think he is, he's better than that.
Got swagger.
He's got swagger. We've got the Ashes coming up. We've struggled a little bit for consistency last few years. How do you see the Ashes playing out?
Yeah, look, I think Australia last year, the last summer we had when they were playing South Africa, I think it was in Hobart, South Africa won the series, beat us 2-0. From that moment on, I think we've sort of gelled together pretty well. We played pretty well in India, could have won that series, and it's very hard to win in India. So I think the guys are going pretty all right, and I think what's happened in the off-season, I think we'll gel them together, and I think they'll come out firing. England are playing well. I've obviously just been there for the last 3 months. They're playing exceptionally well. So I think it should be a ripping Ashes series, actually.
What about the big picture, Warnie? The future of cricket and the challenges it's got, like other sports that aren't AFL, and the drain on talent and the money that's being thrown around for all levels and all types of sports. Are you hopeful that cricket's still got the traditional place in the Australian sportsperson's psyche and just general person's psyche?
Yeah, look, I think it's pretty strong here still in Australia. It's pretty strong in England. But when Test cricket starts suffering in India, and places like that, Sri Lanka, New Zealand, South Africa, there's not a lot of people go and watch Test cricket. It's all 2020 or one day international cricket. So I think as a player, when we look at players and we rate players, you rate them the hardest form of the game, and that's Test cricket. It's over 5 days. It's tough, and you get exposed if you've got any faults. So I think we've got to hope that players still say, we want to play Test cricket because we believe that's the pinnacle of our sport. And the 2020 is fun. Yes, it's still serious, and it's important in the whole scheme of things. But it's sort of an extra. I want to be the best I can at Test cricket, and I'll get my money and all that playing in the IPLs and Big Bash and all those 2020 comps around the world. But let's keep Test cricket strong. And what the ICC need to do is promote it. stop promoting all the 2020 stuff and start promoting Test cricket.
That's the hardest thing. I know. I'll talk to my wife about going to the cricket test, not a hope in no hell. Hope, yeah. One day, struggle. As soon as you say 2020, grab the kids, we'll go there. And they'll watch for 3 hours because they know they've got the fireworks, they've got everything going, there's sixes, there's way to entertain
and
the kids.
And it's only a couple
of
hours. So, yeah, look, I understand all that. And maybe some of us old blokes are thinking, you know what, move with the times, let's get rid of Test cricket and just have 2020 cricket and one day cricket. But I hope that the history and the tradition of Test cricket, you know, you go to any state in Australia and people love their cricket. You go overseas, they love their cricket. And the Australian cricket team is only 11 players that play, you know. So it's a pretty special time and it's a pretty special thing. So I hope that it'll stay alive and be great for a long time. But I have concerns.
If you had a choice, would you play cricket now or would you prefer to have played when you did before the 2020 was so big?
I would have loved to have retired earlier. I mean, some of the great stuff that happened with just the camaraderie of the teams and the boys in the late 80s, early 90s and things, it was just fantastic. There was none of the other stuff that goes on now. There are some advantages to social media and those sorts of things now, but it could also get you in a lot of trouble that just wasn't around back then.
That's very interesting, you know, as a topic.
So people talk about money. Yep. You know, I wish I had a split playing now because of the money, but along that becomes a lot of other responsibilities and a lot of other pressure that on you for modern-day sportsmen if you start playing now. So I would have much rather start played when I did.
Because I reckon the mid-90s for football, Duke, I reckon that would have been the best time to play AFL footy. He was still a professional athlete. Yep. There was reasonable money in there, but you didn't, you know, you could still sort of have a bit of a life and players still had a lot of personality. There was a lot of fun stories going on.
It was almost pre-mobile phone. The mobile phone doesn't go that far back, does it? It was just coming in, but it wasn't as you said, the accountability and the scrutiny and the pressure of the modern-day sports.
How many characters are there in sport?
Not many left, are there?
Because they get punished. They do one thing and they get jumped on all the time by everyone. So I want to see characters in any sport, whether it's footy, you know. You would never see someone like a Tony Lockett probably get through the system now.
Stevie J's about to go.
Stevie J, these crackers, Keenan, whoever. You know, like some of these... Look, Tony Lockett was one of the greatest players. I reckon he was the greatest player, one of the greatest.
Yeah.
He would never get through the system. And Merv Hughes in cricket now would never get through the system. And he was one of the greatest players to play for Australia.
But that's brought in from the players at their own club. Because as an older person, you see a young guy come in. If he's quiet, you try and bring him out of his shell. If you've got someone who comes in a bit of an extrovert, the first thing it's said from the older guys is, settle down, mate, you earn your stripes.
Yeah, that's right.
It's sort of the culture of the footy club that's trying to stop him from being actually a bit of an entertaining person.
Hey, we could continue this discussion, and we will, because...
I know, it's footy, mate. Get on with the footy.
We want to do is pepper Shane Warne. We're just going to drill in, and what a great guest it is in the Friday huddle with... Chris Judd's house. We're going to head back over to the Oval. This is a great Friday night game coming up. The Adelaide Crows take on the Sydney Swans. Rhett Biglands has got Don Pike with him.
Pikey, thanks so much for your time so close to the bounce. Good luck tonight. Fresh from the meeting, what's the key message you're trying to get across to the boys?
Oh, look, we're keen to start really well tonight. We understand that Sydney's, you know, in the last few big games they've played, and they've jumped out and really got some score on the board. So we spoke a bit about our start and a bit about our process.
Hey, Don, I called your game last week against the Bombers, and As a spectator and sitting in the commentary box, it's just a brilliant thing to watch your style of play and the way you play the game. Whenever it got close, it looked like you tried to score and you tried to take attacking options all the time. It's a great credit to you and your style. You're feeling happy with the way you're tracking heading into the finals?
Yeah, well, certainly that's something we've been working on all year, to try and be pretty much strong in all the three phases. And last week was interesting in that, you know, the way Essendon played the game, and they're as attacking as anyone off the half back. We felt like it was going to be important for us to keep trying to probably counter attack when we won the ball back, so that we could keep the scoreboard ticking over to keep pressure on them. So to our guys' credit, they were able to do that last week. And as you say, when we were challenged a few times during the game, our guys responded really quickly, which is important because they started to build some momentum after two or three, you know, little patches where they certainly got a bit of a run on.
Hey, Don, when you started coaching Adelaide, did you feel like that was part of what you should do as a coach, is that the entertainment part and the ability to score is something that is part of the mix? Or if you could win 8-6, do you not care? Or do you feel like what you do in terms of entertainment has got some relevance?
Oh, I think when I started, it was, you know, the list that, you know, I sort of inherited when I came on board had that capacity to score and score well. And it was probably more trying to harness that and make sure we added to that some real extras around our defensive stuff and some of our contest stuff, which has probably been the area this year we've been most pleased with. But it's like any list. You sort of look at the list and you go, what are the strengths of this list and how do we best utilise the talents and the people we have on our list? And, yeah, you know, we're fortunate and we've got some guys that can move the ball well, and we've got some guys that can finish really well. So, yeah, you know, we want to use those strengths to our benefit, you know, as well as clearly focus on those other areas I just spoke about.
Don, it sounds like there's some sort of concert going on there. Is everything going all right over there?
Yeah, no, it's all right. There's a dancing crowd here at the moment. It's all happening.
Your forward 50 tackle pressure's been outstanding, particularly in the second half of the year. It was a concern at some stages where you had a really tall forward line and the ball came out. But in back half of this year, that's been one of the things that's really kept the ball in your area.
Yeah, look, we're like most sides, to be honest. We ideally want to get the ball down our end and then keep it down there for as long as we can. So yeah, that becomes important. That's a combination of obviously our forwards being able to switch really quickly from one phase of the game to the other, and you know, our mids making sure that they're actually, you know, getting in and getting pressure on the opposition as well.
Don, there was a bit made about Charlie Cameron during the week, and obviously Mitch McGovern and Jake Lever have been in the headlines about potentially leaving Adelaide as well. What sort of conversations do you have with those guys during the week to make sure that they're not feeling awkward and really focused on what they've got to do with the team?
I think we might have had a bit of a drama there.
No, you got me again?
Got you, Don.
Yeah. No, we talk to all our players regularly about, and not specifically about all those sorts of things, but yeah, just to touch base with them, see how they're travelling, and those guys are all in a good space.
You're protecting your patch during the week, Don, and that's something you've always done. It created a few headlines, and then Chris Fagan, who was initially the person that you responded to, he sort of came back again today. You're clearly going to be pretty firm, though, aren't you, on players who are contracted to your footy club?
Oh, yeah. And look, to be honest with you, we sort of moved on. I've got a game in half an hour here. I'm sort of focused on that, to be honest.
Yeah. As you get close to that that finals patch, Don, with the six-point premiership buffer as you go in, is it hard at all, just even subliminally, subconsciously, to continue that absolute A-grade focus?
Oh, look, we're probably going to find out a little bit of that tonight. We hope not. I mean, our aim is to continue to build on our style, and we think, you know, winning form is good form and it creates good habits for our players. So, you know, we go in unchanged tonight. Our side goes in, you know, with a good test against an opposition that we know has been in great form for probably the last 14 weeks after a slow start. So we see it as a real opportunity to keep learning and developing and hopefully, you know, building on what has been a successful season to date.
Hey, Don, Shane Warne here, mate. I've got one quick one for you. Now, every coach has a favourite. Surely Eddie Betts has to be your favourite.
Well, Eddie's pretty unique. Yeah, I don't have favourites. I'm determined not to have favourites, but I must admit at times I can get a smile on the box when I see something that Eddie does, and hopefully he does a few of those things tonight for us.
If you look at the Sydney team, they've got Kennedy coming back into the midfield. He joins Hanbury Parker. It's probably one of the more elite midfields coming in. Sloan, Crouch and Crouch are being good for you guys. Would you look to do a bit of a shutdown to limit Sydney or happy to go head-to-head?
Yeah, that's something we're going to consider tonight. It's we're comfortable probably going head-to-head, but we're also mindful of, as you say, the talent within their midfield. So that's something we'll look at.
Last time we spoke to you, Don, we were talking about Biggles' man jewellery on his hands. How many rings have you got going on tonight?
Let me see. I've lost count. I reckon he's up to three or four.
You're killing me with that, Brownie.
Don, on that note, we'll let you go. Good luck tonight.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
Always very generous with his time. Don Pike, the coach of the Adelaide Crows.
Never seen a man wear as many rings as Red Pickens.
No, he enjoys that.
I just can't help but feel Don was in a bit of a hurry then. Don had enough.
He didn't give Damo much, did he?
Gave Damo zero. Tried to pull the cord out on my question. Anyway.
He's got other things on his mind at the moment. We can't get enough of Shane Warne. He's just dropped in, happened to fly back into town Friday. Lives in the area, wandered into the Judd Cave. Warnie, great to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, mate. It was a pleasure to be here with amongst you blokes and talking a bit of footy. I'm talking about footy.
Yep.
Quick question. You know, when me and the boys are watching the footy and we're having a beer, just watching and we have a chat, for all you footy guy legends, what if you had a new AFL team, you're the coach of a new AFL team, you're allowed one player from any side, who's your first player you would pick?
Ooh, good call. Good call. We might go to Hodgie, who's still playing.
Best player or the best person to fit your culture and set the example?
You're mate, the coach. You can do everything and anything, but you just allowed one player to start your team. Who do you think?
I like how you wanted the parameters, Hodgie.
Yeah, mate, you guys are going to go the big names. I would go Callum Ward. Just the fact that he's not the prettiest player, but as far as you want to set your culture, someone who's going to teach you young guys how to go about it, how to go hard at the footy, get up, play good, honest, hard football, to build a team around, he'd be the first person I'd put down there. Not through his skill or through his talent, through him teaching all the younger guys around you the best way to go about
it. One of the great nicknames too, I believe.
I can say is that name didn't come up last night in our conversation over a beer last night.
And his nickname's Cementhead.
I could have 100 guesses, Hodgie, and I wouldn't have picked that you would say.
I just come up with it.
That's a good one.
Who do you pick first interesting. Up?
I would go... I love Callum Ward as a bloke, but I just can't help but feel Hodgie's cutting a few cuts. cutting a few costs there. Maybe looking to get the soft cap a little bit higher as the coach of the team. But I'd be going for Tom Lynch from the Gold Coast. I think he's been captaining a pretty hard ship up there, which looks like it'll turn around. But I think he's a superstar, ripping young bloke. He's competitive. He's hard. That's who I'd be going.
You've stolen my thunder there, Jaddy. I'm going to have to rethink one because I agree with you. Brownie, who do you pick first up?
5 years ago, I would have gone Franklin, but I'm going to go Joe Danaher. I don't think there's any exciting player in the comp at the moment. He leads from the front. He's excited. He gets a bit over the top at times. Needs to work on his kicking, but I tell you what, he's going to dominate this game for 10 years.
And I think we forget pretty quickly last year, man, then Marcus Bontempelli won the best and fairest in a premiership year. He's still 22 years of age. Outstanding person in every sense of the word, Warnie, and you wouldn't go far past picking the Bont to start your side.
BNF winner Darcy in that third season of footy.
A bit of a soft spot with the Saints. The Saints could have had Bontempelli, couldn't they? He would have fitted in beautifully.
Would have been
into
nice.
The Saints
He's
side,
probably
he?
The player that you'd like, Warnie. When you were sitting around having a beer last night, who was at the top of that list?
Top of the list was Buddy Franklin, Paddy Dangerfield. They were the major two. Job Danaher was also up there as well, so they were the major three. We were all... As the beers went on, we sort of said, okay, well, who's going to be your captain? Who's your full forward? Who's your ruckman? So we're picking a team late last night.
You've got issues with Danger's humour levels, haven't you?
I just worry. He had severe case of dad jokes pre-kids. and they've spiralled out of control. I just don't know where it's going to stop with him. So I have concerns for that.
I think that's what we were talking about earlier. No one in AFL can have personalities. I do agree. Some of his jokes are horrendous. Going into that press conference with the crutches, with a broken arm, probably just pushed a little bit too far.
Does he think he's funny, though, when he says
that? Oh, yeah, he thinks he's funny.
That's not good.
All his mates tell him he's funny.
That's not good. If he thinks they're funny, different if you're just sort of taking the mickey a little bit, but if you think they're actually funny, that's an issue.
Danger's pretty happy with his humour, there's no doubt about it. I tell you, this thing over in the Adelaide box at the moment, Mark Ricciuto, speaking of all-time greats and eight-time
legend,
best and fairest, the Ricciuto's been listening in. Roo, good to speak to you.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Who do you start a team with? Shane Warne wants to know, Roo, if you can pick one player, you're the coach. Who do you pick?
Well, can I bring back Wayne Carey or not? Do we have to get someone from... Well, certainly not Callum Ward, Hodgie. You've turned
the dark side. I've learnt one thing. A few years ago, I argued with Roo and ended up on the wrong side of it. So, mate, I'm going to agree with whatever you're going to say.
Oh, God. I'll have Wayne Carey and I'll bring Warnie back for team manager.
Mate, you've got your own issues over there. Ricciuto's on the board. He runs the whole town. Are you going to keep a couple of players that want out? What's happening with Lever and McGovern?
So. I'll give you a little bit more than Dom Pike gave. Shut down big time there.
You've got to ask the question, though, as you remember. We can ask you. You'll give us the answer because, as Darcy said, you're going into this final series with two guys who are out of contract and don't want to be there and another one who's in contract and
doesn't
want to be there. Well, they haven't signed up, Roo. They haven't signed up.
Players are different these days. They like to maximise how much money they can get, not like us. We used to want just a fair price and
keep you'll keep both? You'll keep both McGovern and Lever?
Yeah, I hope so. I really do. I mean, we've got a great club. Everything's in good shape. We've got a good list. We're a competitive side. So it'd have to take an almighty offer or change, other reasons for them to leave the club.
Now, Ricciuto, you're a pub magnate over there in South Australia. The only entry into the Judd Cave tonight was a nice bottle of red wine. He scored a St Henri along as a Hill of Grace.
Mm.
There's a
All Grange. South Australian stuff.
There's a bit of a Bordeaux from France. What would
who bought that?
That might have been me. Came out of Eddie's cellar this morning. I forgot about it. He handed it to me this morning. What would you rock up with, Roo, if you're coming to Judd Cave tonight?
Well, there's a one that's been around for a while, sells a lot overseas, but we get into it a bit over here, called Molly Duca, and there's one called Carnival of Love. Go and try that one out, boys. It won Wine of the Year in the world a couple of years ago, so get into that one, boys.
All right.
Roo, is that the one that you gave me when I was over there with you?
No, I gave you one of the cheap ones. I gave you a Banrock Station, right?
So I know that. I tried to sell it. Didn't get much for it.
Hey, Ricciuto, big game over there tonight. We'll look forward to crossing over. You and the team are going to call that one rip it to shreds very shortly. Ricciuto, good luck tonight with your Crows.
Hey, how did Juddy's Cave match up with your house, Warnie? Any match or not?
Not really, mate. But it's a very nice place here, the Judd. Actually, I might buy this as well.
Get that out of the ashtray, Warnie.
We'll be crossing to South Australia very, very shortly. It's been outstanding. Of Shane Way, Warnie, thank you so much, mate.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me. Sorry to barge in, but it was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
What were you going to be doing if you didn't come in?
Pizza, beer, watch the footy with my son and a couple of his mates.
We might stick around and do that very shortly, morning, with a couple of nice reds. Hodgie, good luck. Your second last game tomorrow night against the Blues.
Yeah, should be a good game. Jaddy's given me a few inside word on how to beat the Blues. So now looking forward to two final games.
And the season's done. Are you, any hope at all that you get through?
Mathematically, but we've left it too late, I think. So we'll finish off the last two games and see where we go from there.
Thanks to Nath Brown. He's got that look in his eye, Nath Brown, that he might be the one to get out tonight, Jaddy.
He looks thirsty, doesn't he?
Thanks for hosting us in the Judd Cave. Yeah, Damien Barrett, who's got all the stories covered tonight.
Can't believe Oscar hasn't been down here either.
Yeah, he brushed us, Oscar. Yeah. Jaddy was on the list.
He was working on a few things upstairs that he just couldn't be interrupted, so he's chasing a couple of year one girls.
How can we beg B to get us out at a reasonable hour tonight, Jaddy? What's the writing instructions before we go?
As long as we stay on this level, I think she's more than happy for us to ourselves out.
Be careful what you wish for.
Morty is in the house. Luke Coates, Damien Barrett, Chris Judd, Nath Brown, and all the photos and videos on the Triple M Facebook page. Jump onto that for Coates Hire. This has been the Triple M Footy Preview. You can't leave the site. Coates Hire delivers 13-15-52. Great to see Shane Warne. It's the Crows and the Sydney Swans. We're heading over to the Adelaide Oval. The first bounce not far away. One of the big Friday night games of the year for McDonald's. This has been Triple M rocking Friday night footy in the Friday huddle on Triple M.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.